Feliz Navidad. Almost broke into the song. Praise God. It is a blessing to be able to be here on these occasions and be able to share the Word of God. As we're going through the book of Mark, and this, of course, being the first of the month, which is our communion time, and it's also the time that we take the deacon's fund. It's also an amazing thing. It was, as I was thinking about it the last couple of weeks, last week was, of course, the fifth Sunday so I asked Carrie to preach, and this week we'll pick up where we had left off in our brother Mark's work and what he had written for us. And it's so fitting, as I was thinking about it last week and the week prior to that and all throughout the week, where it is that we ended up when I spoke last and where it is that we are right now in the book of Mark. And how appropriate and apropos it is to this time of the season, and especially with all that's going on, it's just one of those things where we see these things unfolding. Before we begin with the actual message, I want to read this. It's just a short little thing from Leviticus. And maybe you're thinking, Leviticus? Spoke about that a little bit last week, Carrie did. But it's important because of what is there. Leviticus 13 and Leviticus 14 deal primarily with this one subject, and that is a subject of leprosy. And the title of this message is The Lord of the Leper. And so I wanted to begin with this because I wanted to, as I thought about it, and I thought about the situation that this person that is being written here, as I thought about this person that's written here for us to see and to be able to experience what is going on here, there's a lot. We'll keep it as short as possible. But there's a lot going on here. And I want to open up with this. In Leviticus 13, verse 45, concerning the leper. As for the leper who has the infection, his clothes shall be torn, and the hair of his head shall be uncovered. And he shall cover his mustache and cry, "Unclean! Unclean!" He shall remain unclean all the days during which he has the infection. He is unclean. And I want to focus in on this. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. Father, thank you so much for your word, that no matter where we're at in your word, that we can tie it in with this things that are going on around us. We can tie it in with this message of Christmas, of your coming. After all, it was for this that you came, to cure us, to cleanse us, to clean us, to make us new. Lord, we thank you for your glorious word in which we find solace and peace and strength at times that are so crazy, Lord. And we want to take I want to take a little moment to pray for those families who have lost their loved ones in this season and their terrible loss at this murderous act that was done just earlier this week. Father, be with those families and heal them. Be with those families and comfort them. I know that some were messianic in their belief, and others were Christians, and maybe some of them were not. But I pray that you would use this situation to comfort their souls, and that others would come around them. And I, for one, rejoice to see groups of people praying, even while this thing was unfolding. They knew where to go. They knew where to come. They knew who to go to. They knew what they needed. And Lord, I thank you for the great encouragement that we have with one another in this country, where we can openly gather and we can grasp hands together and we can cry out to the holy living God. And so we do this morning, Lord. Have your way here amongst us. Open this word to us that we would leave more awe and inspired by who you are, for your name's sake. and that we would exalt you, and that we could exult in you because of who you are, and simply because of who you are. Lord, we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So in Mark chapter 1, verse 40 through 45, we'll be going through this morning. And we'll open up by remembering that the last few weeks, Mark has already taken us through the first miracle that he recorded. And it was a miracle of taking somebody who was possessed and oppressed by a wicked demon and cast that demon out. And before that, he had read and taught from the scriptures, as many had done for who knows how long. And yet, when he did it with such an authority and such an amazing power in the way that he did it, that people recognized it. They recognized something different about what he is doing. It's not normal. This was something way beyond. He showed his authority. He showed his power over the supernatural and even over evil and demonic possession. And he takes us, and we saw how he healed Peter's mother-in-law and how he simply spoke to the fever and it left. So he's the king. He has the power, the authority over even our physical ailments. And now we're going to see another one where this man who is written here, and I believe he's a man, and he came, he had heard of all these things. Remember what I just read. He shall dwell where? Outside the camp. So he didn't have the ability to just go where he pleased and to be welcome there. He was one of the outcasts. This was part of the law. This is what he had to endure. In this case, possibly through no fault of his own. There are some commentators that when they were reflecting on this, they were saying and thinking maybe it was because of something that he had done. We don't know. But what matters here is he's on the outside. He wasn't able to be there and witness these things, but he's hearing what's going on inside the walls of Israel. And being unwelcomed, he was going to do something about it. He heard all these things that were happening. Demons are cast out. People are being healed. Other demons were cast out. All these things were being taken place. This was something new. This is not something that we find in the Old Testament that was going on. This was something that new that had come, this new thing that was happening. And this person that was behind it all. And here, this leper, this one who had to walk about wherever he was, covered and crying unclean. How many of us have been comforted by the touch of a friend or family member, or by the hug? For those of you who are grandparents, those little ones, when they see you and they get excited and they run with their arms up in the air and they say, "Grandma, Grandpa!" They run to you with reckless abandon and they don't care who knows. And they just come and just embrace you. That touch. He was not able to have that. We don't know how long this had been the case for this man. But we do know one thing. It was enough and long enough for him to say, "I don't want this anymore. I want it to be gone. And I hear of somebody that can do this. I'm being and hearing stories of somebody that I can go to." And so he went and he comes looking for this very person. And in Mark chapter 1, verse 40, it reads as following. "And a leper came to him," Jesus, "beseeching him." He's looking for him and asking for him. "Jesus! Jesus!" "And falling on his knees." Now this here is not the Greek word proskeneo, which means to worship. This is him coming in still in his humility and falling before Jesus on his knees. Imagine, he's coming to him asking for him and he falls before him crying out and saying to him, he falls on his knees before him and saying to him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." No, it's a declarative statement. He's simply coming to him, and in his wanting way, he's looking for someone. He's looking for something. And he knows that person. There's only one person that he can go to that can do this. And he simply states, if you are willing, you can do this. It's a statement of confidence. If you are willing, you can do this. Not me. Not what I can do, not something that I have to do. I'm here, and I know that if you're willing, you can do this. It's a confidence, and it's a great statement of faith. He's coming to this one who can heal him. Leviticus 13 and Leviticus 14 are, one of them has 30-some verses, and the other one has 32 verses, of just dealing with what was necessary for what is about to occur here. And so we're not going to be able to have time to go into a lot of those things, but that's okay. He comes to Jesus and says, if you are willing, you can make me clean. That's the first thing. He took the initiative. He came. And remember, he came in his public humiliation. He had to let people know, I'm unclean. And yet still, he was willing to endure all of that. He wasn't shy about it. He wasn't inhibited by anything at this point. He says in verse 41, and moved with compassion. This was the very act that brought this very same Jesus to the earth. God moved with compassion, and he sent his son. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. He gave his son, moved with compassion, in the same way as his father, here Jesus is moved with compassion. This is the same type of, the word compassion there is the same word that is used when Lazarus was in the grave and Jesus had heard that his friend had died, and it says that Jesus wept because he was moved with this compassion. It's that same idea. It's that same thing that happens when we hear those terrible news, and especially when it's a loved one or a friend that we know, and we're moved with compassion. I don't know about you, but I've seen people that are disabled in some way or another, and my heart breaks. It breaks for them sometimes. And sometimes I pray, Lord, man, I just desire to be able to go to someone like that and just pray to them and ask them if they would be healed and be made whole, that they might have the faith and that I would have the faith to go to them and pray for them. But sometimes I'm moved with this compassion, and it's not often enough for me, but it's one of those things that I'm learning. Jesus appears moved with compassion. He sees this scene, this man that's unclean. And notice what it says next. He stretched out his hand. You don't need to stretch out your hand when it comes to Jesus, because he's going to reach down. He'll do the reaching. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in spirit, and you will find rest for your soul. He reaches out and touches him. This was not something that anyone could do. This was not lawful. You weren't supposed to do this. And if you did, then you have to go through all the cleansing, the ceremonial cleansing and all the other stuff. But Jesus moved with compassion because of who he is, because of his unique identity. He reaches out and he touches this man who's unclean. And listen to what he says. And he touched him and said to him, I am willing. Be cleansed. I'm willing, be cleansed. The guy comes in faith. He's looking for, and is probably for the first time in a long time, feels. Because remember, some forms of leprosy make you dead. Your nerves are dead, so you can't feel. That's what ends up happening to your digits, to your arms, to your ears, to your nose. You don't feel it, that it's damaged, wounded, and so it rots away. And so for the first time, he has someone, but not just anyone, and he feels this touch. You see, this is what Jesus came to do. He came to touch the untouchables. He came to love the unlovable. He came to those who are outcasts and the downtrodden. This is exactly what he had done, and that's why it's so appropriate for this time of the year, this message, because this is what he did. I am willing to be cleansed. There's no moment of hesitation. And first you notice in this account, he touches him. The human touch. But it's not just the human touch in this case. It's a touch of somebody who this man knew could cleanse him. That's what his statement said. If you are willing, you can cleanse me. Jesus responded and said, I am willing. That's what I came for. The man moved in faith. Jesus says, I will cleanse you. In verse 42, and immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. He didn't have to wait. And this was one of those cases where sometimes Jesus has different ways of doing things that are recorded. And in this case, it was real simple. The man made the statement. Jesus responded back. And boom. Whatever this thing was, this form of leprosy that he had, it was gone. It was cleansed. It was removed. What did this man do to earn it? Absolutely nothing. He simply humbled himself and came to Jesus in faith. That's it. That's all that's required. As was spoken earlier, that's what it is. He came and he moved. And that's all he did was come to Jesus. And Jesus responded in like manner. But yet here in verse 43, he says this. This is Jesus still speaking to the man. And he sternly warned him and immediately sent him away. Now that sternly warning is almost a warning. It's the same type of thing that we'll talk about a little bit in during communion. It's the same type of warning. It's this warning that was to come as he's sternly telling him. And what did he tell him? Well, in verse 44, he says to him, see that you say nothing to anyone. That's the stern warning. Almost with a consequence. One of the, I think it was Jonathan Edwards that I was reading that suggested perhaps that what he was doing here was the same. It was a warning to, because it is not the time yet. It was not the time for him to declare who he was, although it was evident. And he said, don't see to it that you tell no one. No one. It's as if, it was almost as if, as according to Jonathan Edwards, that what is going on here is possibly the warning that there could be the possibility of this happened because of something that he had done, and that it could return. I don't know if that fits or not, but I thought it was an interesting perspective. But it's a stern warning nonetheless. It wasn't just, hey, don't go tell anybody. It was a stern warning. He says, go see that you say nothing to anyone. And then the second part of it was important because they were still under the law, and Jesus did not come to do away with the law, but to fulfill it. And so in doing so, he says what is lawful and says, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a testimony to them. Now for that, I recommend that you do read, spend some time in Leviticus 13 and 14, the first parts of the chapter of each chapter, and read what was involved. There was a lot. There was a lot involved there. It wasn't just a little slight thing. And one of the things that is so amazing, here's one of those things that you can have for free. No charge. This compassion that Jesus is moving with here is the same compassion that you see in Leviticus. And what do I mean? Well, when you read through it, you'll see that there was a sacrifice that was required, a series of things. And God, in His compassion, realizes that there are going to be some people who are not able to afford what is prescribed. So in His compassion, He says, but if you can't afford this, you can still have these things removed. You can still do a sacrifice in accordance with what you can afford. And He makes it possible. And I love that because there in the Old Testament, where God is supposedly this angry, wrathful, vengeful God, there He's making provision for the poor who are still under the law, but He's still having compassion on them. And He says, go and show yourself to the priests and do what the law requires of you. You know what's interesting here is when somebody would touch a leper, that would make that person that touched the leper unclean. And so they had a ceremony that they had to go do too. And notice what's missing here that we don't have written here. The Bible is silent. And it speaks to me an amazing thing. Here these guys were with Him, these disciples, watching these things unfold. We don't see any account where Jesus had to go be cleansed. It's an interesting thing to think about. It presents almost, it's almost an oxymoron when it comes to, well, is this lawful or not lawful for Him to do? And I want to submit to you, it's because of who He is, His unique personhood, because of who He is uniquely being. That because of this, and what I want to say is that it seems as though Jesus, in who He is, even in touching the most unclean of us, is not contaminated by what is our affliction. He's not contaminated by it. He's not a part of that. He's different. He's so different that we don't even see, because there was a prescription of what He was supposed to do or what the law said if a person came to a person who was unclean. He touched him and He said, I'm willing, be cleansed. Immediately the leprosy left him. And they were to go and show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what was commanded by Moses, and listen to this, for a testimony to them. Do this not just because the law says, but because of what just took place. It's a testimony. It testifies of something. It testifies of someone. It testifies of what just took place. It's a testimony to them. You see, on the day of judgment, these priests who rejected their own Messiah will not be forgiven. It's a testimony against them. Because this person was to go to those same priests that would later reject him and that hated him because he didn't fit their mold. Jesus doesn't fit most of our molds. when we look at who he is. He didn't fit their mold, and he came to and did this and said, go do this according to the law, but it's for a testimony to them. And then in verse 45, but he went out and began to proclaim it freely. This is the man now. When Jesus comes and touches you, I don't know that person that can't help but tell people. I've never met that person when this has really happened. You all of a sudden are turned into this Jesus freak, and you can't keep your mouth shut about it, and you can't help it. I just got to tell you what Jesus did. He touched me, and he made me new, and he made me different. I've had an encounter with the living Christ, and he's done something. He went out and he began to proclaim. He couldn't help himself, and to spread the news about to such an extent that Jesus could no longer publicly enter a city. The news went out. This Jesus, he's different. And no matter where he went, there was crowds. People were looking to him. They were looking to go after him. Sadly, many of them, because of what he could do and only that, they weren't looking for what he could really do and make them new. He could no longer enter the city, but stayed out in the unpopulated areas. Think about that. Where was this leper? He was outside the city, probably in unpopulated areas. Here the Lord, who is clean, now because of these throngs, has to stay outside the cities. Interesting, isn't it? And Jesus, willing to do it all. He doesn't look and complain like we do. He just does this. And they were coming to him from everywhere. It wasn't just this city. This word was getting out. You got to come and see this guy. It's amazing. One of the, it might have been in Matthew Henry's that I read, that he heard of a preacher who interestingly took this part of the passage, and he said something very interesting. He said, here you see where this man has been healed. He's so excited, and Jesus tells him and restricts him and says, don't go tell anyone. And the man goes and tells everyone. He's blabbering everywhere. He can't help himself. He's beside himself because he's new. Imagine. And the same preacher said, but at the same time, Jesus now, when he's healed us of our affliction, tells us to go and tell everyone, and we don't tell anyone. There's many in Christendom who never tell anyone. And how sad that is. He is the Lord of the leper. He is the one who can cleanse. Leprosy, of course, that great imagery of what sin does to the human soul. That leprosy is that thing that afflicts us. We're unaware of it because it makes us numb, because it makes us unfeeling to how guilty we are before a holy God. And in the same way that leprosy does this to the physical body, and it attacks the nerves, the nervous system, so that we can't feel. And in the same way, sin does this to the human soul, that it continues to eat away at the nerve of who we are until we're totally ignorant of the fact of how guilty that we are before a holy God. This is what leprosy does. So the question is, if Jesus is the Lord of the leper, has he delivered? Has he touched and has he cleansed? This is ultimately what he came to do. He came to clean, to touch, affliction could be removed once for all. The great news is we're not under the law where we have to go to a priest because there's no priest to go to. We can simply do this man did, we can go to everybody that we can and say, God has called me. He has made me new. He has made me different than what I was. I had the leprosy of this sin, and it continued to afflict my soul. Then one day, I entered the living Christ, and He set me free. This is what Christmas is all about. It's about the fact that Jesus can do this. He can do this for you. He can do this for me. He can do this for anyone that He pleases. He is the one who is the Lord of all these things. He has the power to do what no one else can do. Physical. The illness effect. Fully healing. But He can also do what no one else can do, in that in the spirit realm, He can forgive our sins. And He can cleanse our leprosy. That is what can do. This man came to Jesus wanting to be cleansed. That he acknowledged, again, explain it, he just came this thing. And I know that if you're willing, you can cleanse me. You can make me clean. And only you. It's only Him that can take away. It's only Him, Jesus, that can remove it. And at this time of Christmas, we should be more with people. God can forgive. Not in part. One of the things that I see unfolding as Islam, the world is seemingly at this boiling point. Does not have. That no other religion has. Because there's only two religions. There's true Christianity and what it represents. The truth. And then there's everything else. And the one thing that all religions don't have is simply forgiveness. It does not have, they do not have, no way of getting any forgiveness. No. One thing that we can assure people of, one thing that we can let people know, surety of forgiveness, the knowledge of knowing that your sins are forgiven, not just the past ones, not just up to the point where you who knows you and knows what you're who knows what you will be guilty of, what you have been guilty of, and still saves you and causes you to become clean. Hope. This is the greatest time of the year when we can share with people, including Muslims. Some people don't even know they need to be forgiven. That's what leprosy does. It numbs us from the truth of how guilty we are before a holy God. But Jesus came, and He can say the same thing to you as He did to me and to others that are in here. He says, I am willing, be cleansed. We need only come to Him in the same humility like this man who came to Him like a child. If you are willing, I know that you can cleanse me. That's the question. We all are afflicted with this leprosy. Has your leprosy been dealt with? Have you come to the only one who can cleanse you? Come to the only one who can you clean and free you from this great sickness called sin. He is the only one that can do this. And if you've never done that, then I pray you would come to Him and know Him. Come to Him and know your sins are forgiven. And that one day you will be with Him. And that Be excited at the idea of Jesus coming in the clouds in great power and in majesty with all His throng and all His people and all His angels in His the wholeness of His majesty, rather than being terrified at the very idea and the prospect of the living God coming here to judge. Receive Him and know Him. Give yourself to Him. That is what He came for. That is what Christmas is really all about. This baby who would come and who would later become who He is. The great forgiver of sin. The great cleanser of our leprosy. The great healer of our soul. The great giver of life. We can know life. We can have life if we'll simply come to Him and receive Him and trust in Him and put our trust on Him for all eternity, knowing that we can do nothing to earn it. He is the only one that can forgive us sins and to remove them. And that is the question. When you have this portion of our service this morning, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. This is the time of the month when we celebrate and remember, and I love it that it's the time of the year, it's so appropriate to remember. Not only did He come as a baby, but He came for a reason. He was sent. He was given to us so that we can know Him. He was sent. He was given to us so that we can be set free. And we can remember the great price that He paid. We can remember how God thinks about sin. It is His mortal enemy. Sin is something that God hates. But sin is also something that God, to that person who would come to Him humbly and admit his guilt and ask for forgiveness. As Vi was saying earlier, not just repenting of it, but entrusting themselves to Jesus Christ. To come to Him and say, Lord, I have nothing, but I know that You can cleanse me. You can forgive me because of what You've done. You can take away my sin and have them put on the cross there to be paid for once for all. I trust that and I believe that and I accept that. I receive that, and I receive You. Please forgive me, and accept me, and receive me, and make me new. Cleanse me from my leprosy, and be born again. Those are the things that Jesus came for, and the fact that He paid that price on the cross, and not only that, but that He was dead, and that He was buried. But as I like to say, it was only a weekend reservation. Because on the third day, He rose again. And that is what we celebrate. That is what we remember, that He did die. He paid that horrible price. He did what only He could do. He is the only solution to our sin. He is the only way to our sickness. Will you take that medicine today? Here in Corinthians, it reads as such, and Paul writes this to the church at Corinth. He says in verse 23, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" And that's what we do. We do it in remembrance of Him, His death, His resurrection, His forgiveness that He offers for anyone that'll come. "And in the same way, He took the cup also, and after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood the Lord. In the same way that Jesus warned the man who he just healed, it's the same stern warning here. If you've never known Christ, that's the beauty of communion and of these services, that you can know Him. If you've never known Him, you can know Him this morning. As the Bible says, today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, not the next day, but today. If God is working in your heart to draw you to come to know Him and to have peace with Him, then come to Him and receive Him. That way you won't be guilty of the body. It's a warning that is given sternly. If you're not a believer, don't take it. If you're a believer, then by all means, take it. And if you're not a believer and want to become a believer, then do so. Receive Him. Accept His sacrifice. Let your leprosy be removed and cleansed. Give yourself to Him and entrust your life and your to Him for all eternity, that you might live to tell others and die to yourself, that others may live by what you say and how you live for Jesus. He said, let man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks, in verse 29, and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep. And that word there, sleep, means they're dead. He said, because they were guilty of this thing. It's a serious thing. Take it seriously. But if we judge ourselves rightly, we should not be judged. Hallelujah and amen. Father, thank you so much for your grace and your mercy. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you that we can remember what it is that you have done. Thank you that you came and that you gave yourself, that you would have all our sins, all our filth, all our leprosy, all our sickness placed upon your perfect body, that it would be judged once for all, that the full wrath, your full wrath, would be poured out on Jesus on that cross that day, so that we would not be judged, so that we could come to you in faith, so that we could come to you like the leper and cry out, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. That we might hear that great response, I am willing, be cleansed. Help us here in this place, Lord, to continue to tell this message of hope amongst our neighbors, amongst our loved ones, amongst the strange people that we meet. Not that they're any stranger than us, but we don't know them, but we want to. That we might see them on the other side and rejoice with them. And we might all enjoy and come together to worship the true God in spirit and in truth, even there. Lord, we thank you for all this and more, and for how you work, and that you're still at work today, saving souls, opening hearts and minds with the great truth of forgiveness that is offered through the death of Jesus on the cross and the fact that he rose again 3 days later. Lord, we praise you this day, and we thank you for this season when we can proclaim his coming, and when we can also continue to look forward to his coming again in his full majesty, that we might bow before him and receive him. And even more so, that he would take us up with him. Lord, we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.